Welcome to Punches and Punchlines, where we break down the best in boxing with a sense of humor. And now, your hosts, Fritz and Franco.
Welcome back, everybody, to this week's episode of Punches and Punchlines. We have another special episode for you. Franco and I, we like to bring in comedians that I've had the pleasure of working with. This week is a special treat for everybody because this is, we're bringing in Brian Hicks this week, Franco. This is one of the guys that I started comedy with way back in 1999. Brian started a little before I did. We met when we were just working. I was tending bar at a club. He was working the door at the club. Basically, he was running that club. And that's probably why I got fired a few months later. But yeah, an absolute joy to bring in Brian this week, isn't it, Franco?
It is. Brian, I did not know that you went all the way back to Sinisi's Winery, I'm going to guess. Fritz probably doesn't want me throwing names out there, but I'm going to, because that place was a Southwest Side legendary spot. So yeah, I've seen Brian a bunch of times performing. If anybody has not seen the great Brian Hicks take the mic on stage, it's always a fun time. So without further ado, Brian Hicks, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. However, Franco, you should know Fritz bartended at more than one comedy club.
Oh, no.
I only got fired from one. So
that's correct.
That
you only got fired from one.
It wasn't me. It was the other place. So yeah, it's definitely fun to have Brian Hicks on. If people aren't familiar with Brian Hicks, you might know him as Brian from Zanies. He goes by that sometimes too.
AKA Brian from Zanies.
Yeah. He's fresh off a big performance over at Allstate Arena, Franco. The same place that I've seen Def Leppard, the same place that I've seen Big East Basketball, same place that I've seen Monster Trucks. They had a monster comic perform there, and Brian Hicks. The reason we're having Brian on this week, everybody, is, again, to talk boxing movies. Now, Brian and I have done probably in the hundreds of shows now together. And
yeah, I would imagine.
Somewhere along the line, in 8-hour drives to Brimley, Michigan, you're shooting the shit and
You're running out of things to talk about.
Right. We were.
So you talk about anything.
Yeah. So we brought up, you know, just our different movies that we love. And Brian brought up Cinderella Man. And he's like, you have not seen this movie? I was like, no, I've never seen it. He's like, Fritzy, if you love boxing, you have to see this movie. Like, it's not just a great boxing movie. It's just a great movie, period. And because of Brian Hicks, I've seen Cinderella Man.
Yeah, I recommended it, and obviously knowing Fritz was a huge boxing fan, I go, I can't believe you haven't seen this movie. And it, just like Fritz said, I had seen it probably a handful of times at that point. You know, I loved it as a boxing movie, but I also just loved it as just a movie. I loved the time that it was set in. Paul Giamatti was in it, and he was phenomenal. I really loved everything about it. And here's what you should know. I love this movie so much. I'm not even a big Russell Crowe fan. So the fact that he's the star in the movie and I enjoyed the movie so much, it's a testament to how much I really did enjoy the movie.
I agree with you on the Russell Crowe thing. Like, I think he's definitely a talented actor.
Yes.
But he seems to have zero sense of humor. And maybe that's what drives him as a human being. I don't know. But, you know, I've used this line on other people. You know who loves Russell Crowe is Russell Crowe. Like, he is willing to tell you how great he is. And in this movie, I don't disagree. You know, he's had some awesome performances. But I agree. Paul Giamatti is fantastic. What has he done that he's been bad at? He's been in shit movies, don't get me wrong. But it wasn't a shit movie because of Paul Giamatti. You know, every Christmas, my family and I, we sit and we watch Fred Claus, which I recommend to everybody. But Paul Giamatti is Santa Claus in that one. And he just absolutely nails it. The back and forth between him and Vince Vaughn in that movie is beyond wonderful. So what a talented dude.
Yeah, this is hands down one of my favorite boxing movies and just a movie that I really love. The first time that I watched it, though, and I may have mentioned this on the show in the past, we were coming back from my wife and I getting engaged. We were on a bus between Acapulco and Cuernavaca in Mexico, my family's from, and we're all excited. But that was the movie that they were showing on this bus ride for like half of it. And then they cut it off when we got there. So it's during the big final match. Big James Braddock is going up against Max Baer. It's like the big ending. The fight's already going, but they haven't said what the decision is. And then they literally turned it off and we're like, se tienen que bajar del bus, ya vámonos. And they kicked us off the bus. And this was before streaming. This was before anything. So we had to wait until our asses got all the way back to Chicago so that I could like go to the Redbox, rent the stupid DVD, and was just left in suspense. So I don't know if I like the movie more because I was left in suspense or because, you know, it was just a great movie. But I like to think it's because it was a great movie. And it's funny you guys said you weren't big Russell Crowe fans. I am not a Renee Zellweger fan. I think she has a weird face. A lot of times she looks super weird. But there's two movies where I was like, I get it. Like, I kind of get it. And this was one of them. It was this and when she was in Chicago. And that was it. Everything else, I'm like, I don't know. She doesn't do it for me. Love
not, her. Not, didn't care for her and Jerry Maguire.
Too much crying.
Yeah, there was a lot of crying for her in that movie.
She looked good in this one. And maybe that's why they were nominated for best makeup. Because they're like, oh, even Franco thinks she's attractive in this one. So we're going to have to give credit to the makeup department. It was nominated for, you know, 3 Academy Awards, best makeup, best editing. And Paul Giamatti, you know, as we've already discussed, was nominated for best supporting actor. I know all 3 of us are dads on this podcast. And I'm sure that some of our listeners have kids, too. But when he loses his kids just because they have to go stay warm somewhere. Like as a dad, I was like, oh God, like it was ripping my heart out watching this. The fact that he didn't want a handout, but he's like, I got to eat. You put yourself in that dude's shoes and you totally get it where he's got a broken hand, but he still wants to work the docks. You know, like I get it as a dad. You're like, hey, I don't give a shit. Like I'll do whatever it takes to feed my kids or keep them warm. It was, that time though, there were nobody was working.
Yeah, and the I mean that was crazy, but you know, obviously he's trying to work on the docks and do that. But when he went back into the Boxers Association, the club, you know, the elite, and was begging for money.
Right.
Like anybody, like I've been doing this a while, we know each other. And the fact that they did start kind of like throwing in money for him when they didn't have to, and at that point he meant nothing to them, right? Because he couldn't get him any money at that point. He wasn't boxing, wasn't doing anything, but the feel of people's hearts kind of bleed out and then people did start giving him money just as something to kind of keep him going. I thought that was a pretty interesting point of the movie as well.
Yeah. That's where Fritz got the idea for every time he shows up at Zany's with his hat off. Come on, guys. It's been really rough lately.
You guys remember me? I've been here a long time.
Yeah. Come on. My headshot's hidden behind the bar where nobody could see it.
Yeah. Actually, I think some of the best scenes in this movie, and it's what makes the movie so great, is all of the Great Depression stuff and him struggling, whether it be to feed his family or just make ends meet. But one of my favorite scenes was when he goes to the welfare office. And they give him money and he's like ashamed to do it. And he's just so embarrassed. And then he comes back once he's like got a couple good fights under his belt and he's starting to win again. And he comes back and he puts the money on there to pay back the welfare office. Like, that was such a great scene to me. And I remember there was a point where things were a little bit rough for us and we were getting WIC, which WIC, tons of people get WIC, no matter like where your financial situation is. I was like, oh God, I hate paying with these coupon things. I was like, but one day I'm going to go back to that WIC office. I'm going to do like Cinderella Man. And then I did like, now we're doing good. And I'm not going back to the WIC office. Like, fuck, maybe I'll give them some cookies or something.
Sure.
Government takes so much out in taxes. It's like, no, that's what those programs are for. But I always remember that scene where he goes and he pays them back. And it's like, that was such a baller move.
Yeah, when he dropped the mic, I'm like, why did he even bring a mic? This is weird.
It was great. I thought the you mentioned him earlier, the actor who played Max Baer for that final fight. I thought he did a phenomenal job too. He had this really awesome character where, you know, he was kind of also elite, but he was very smug and he just would just brush things off like just with a facial expression. I thought he was great. And if I'm not mistaken, he has some celebrity ties, right? Wasn't his father, if I'm not mistaken, his father was Jethro on the Beverly Hillbillies.
Right. The real Max Baer, his dad is.
Yeah, correct.
Or I'm sorry. Max Baer's son, it turned out to be Jethro.
Yeah, correct. Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah, so not the actor.
if Braddock would have landed a good one in the Stones, we would have never gotten, you know, Jethro Bodine, you know? So we really escaped one there. That's an American treasure. And you know what? I'd love to make fun of that dude, but did you ever hear, I forget what was his name Max Baer as well?
I don't think it was. I feel like it wasn't Max. Oh, maybe, huh?
Like, I thought the dude was just going to be a big goofus, but then you hear him interviewed, and he sounds like the nicest self-aware dude, that he's like, yeah, I had a run as Jethro, and it paid some bills, yeah. And I had a lot of fun.
It was Max Baer Jr., as a matter of fact.
Okay, yeah. Oh, and I guess he and the rest of the family were not happy with the way their father was portrayed, or the, you know, Max Baer Sr. was portrayed in the movie, because they're like, you know, when he killed the guy in the ring, he was not celebrating it or bragging about it. They're like, he wasn't right after that. And the movie, but he's like, I get it for the story of it. It's much more sensational to root against a guy that was celebrating killing somebody. So he's like, I get it, but also it's my dad. So I don't want this people to think that that's actually how it all went. So.
Yeah, and actually, now that I'm looking at stuff, fun fact, after Max Baer and James Braddock had their big match at Madison Square Garden, and Max Baer loses, James Braddock's next fight was a loss against Joe Louis.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. And it was here at Comiskey Park, at White Sox Park here in Chicago. So that was, and then Max Baer fought Joe Louis, and Joe Louis won again. It's almost like they shouldn't have kept African-Americans out of sports. But maybe there was a reason, you know.
I think that Joe Louis is going to be okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think he's got a future in the boxing world. I know Brian and I both love what's the angry redheaded comedian during his Philly rant.
Bill Burr.
Yeah. He's like, Joe Louis is from Philadelphia, but you ain't going to put a statue up of that guy because he's black. You got to put up a guy from a movie.
Fake guy from a movie. All right.
When you're done watching Brian Hicks's Dry Bar special, you can YouTube Bill Burr Philadelphia. Yeah, because it's so goddamn funny.
Yeah, it really.
It's way better than any cheesesteak, I'll tell you that.
Now, one of the things that I was trying to figure out even before was why this movie wasn't bigger. Like, I know it did fine financially and everything, but the fact that it didn't win awards, and the only thing that I can think of is that during that time when that movie came out, I believe it was like 2005 that the movie came out, just a couple years before that, you had Seabiscuit, and that took place during the Great Depression and kind of, you know, pulls on people's heartstrings. So I could see people like making comparisons like, oh, they just did boxing Seabiscuit, but that's kind of a disservice to the movie. Because it was a really great movie, and it was a great cast. I felt like everybody that was in it did a great job. And it pulls on all the heartstrings and everything. And then it has the big ending where he wins. And I know when I saw it the first time, so I didn't cry when my kids were born. I didn't cry when I got married. I didn't cry when I got, you know, in some serious injuries or when I had a heart attack. But movies, for whatever reason, I cry like ugly cry at movies, and this one was one of the many movies that got me pretty good, like the endings happening. And I think, like Fritz said, a lot of it has to do with being a dad, because they tie all that stuff with his family, where like his daughter can't eat, so he gives her his meal even though he needs the energy and the strength to go work. Like, just checked off all the boxes. Maybe when the movie came out, kind of did a disservice to the movie, because I still think it's great and I think it held up.
That also led to one of Paul Giamatti's best lines in the movie, too. He's like, oh, man, he fought like that on hash. I can't wait to see what he does if you get him some steak.
I thought it was great. I thought the ending was well done. And you're right. That is one of there's a handful of movies where I get to the end of them and I really tear up. I don't cry, but I definitely get that little tear up. Definitely Cinderella Man. The other one for me is Con Air with Nicolas Cage. When he reunites with his wife and his daughter, I don't know why, man, he's just fought so hard to get back there. I mean, we're talking about fighting movies, right?
Yeah. I cry at everything, so it's not a big deal. I'm an easy get,
Yeah, I used to try to cover up my crying at movies. And then I found out from my cousins, my uncle, who, for whatever reason, he's not a scary dude, but in my memory, he's like Tommy Lee Jones, but Mexican, same face, always angry and serious. And then I found out from them that he cries at everything. They're like, what? My dad? No, he's super, he cries, you know? And then I was like, well, if he can cry, I can finally like kind of just do it out in the open. And yeah, and then Pixar was invented. So I've been a mess ever since.
I think there was a comedian when I first started, I would never remember who, what his name was. But I remember his joke, and his joke was, the last movie I cried at was Rocky II. He goes, I had money on Apollo.
It's such a great find. Dude. Hey, you know what's special about this episode, everybody? You have three reverends here in the room, in the Zoom room. Both of these gentlemen have been nice enough, when I asked to get themselves ordained online. Brian Hicks was the reverend at my wedding, you know, almost 15 years ago now. And Franco was the reverend for both the blessings of my daughter. So they were nice enough to do that for me. Such a, what awesome dudes they are. I also am a reverend. People ask me like, oh, you're ordained. Was there a test? I'm like, yeah, there was a test. It had one question. It said, do you have $15? And I was able to answer that correctly. And right after that, I was a man of the cloth.
Yeah. Well, I was fortunate. So it has been about 15 years, Fritz. And here's what I realized is, you know, it was still relatively new back then. Like it was starting to catch on a little bit, but it was still new. Well, then over the past 10 years, it's just like it's caught wildfire. Like there's no real church people that are doing any weddings anymore, because it's always somebody's friend or something like that. Right. And I think when I purchased my ordainmanship, it was like $30, $29, something like that. Well, I was grandfathered in. So now people have to kind of update their thing every year.
Exactly. They have to renew like suckers. Yeah.
I feel totally cool. I go, oh man, I can't believe this. Finally, something's working in my favor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've done a bunch. I got it just for Fritz, and I've, you know, mentioned it to a couple people, like, you know, I'm an ordained reverend. I could have paid $5 more and come up with my own title, but I thought that would be a bit much. And since then, yeah, I've done a bunch of weddings, and it's a lot of fun. It really is cool to be a part of somebody's life and just kind of for forever. And most of them have turned out well. I think only one has been a divorce, and everybody else is doing really well and happy. So, you know, I probably should have spent more time writing that one.
Well, I want to get out one plug that if anybody wants to see Brian and I live and in person together, you can come out to, what is it, April 19th. We'll be in Brimley, Michigan at a casino there. Come on out and laugh at us, buy us drinks. The following day, we'll be in Leesburg, Indiana. That's a big brag. You know, not a lot of people get to play the Brimley and Leesburg in the same weekend, but we're doing it. You know what I mean? A lot of people talk about it, but we're actually doing it.
We're calling it the Fritz and Brian two city tour.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be off the hook.
It's going to be pretty wonderful. You got anything else you want to plug coming up? FunnyBrianHicks.com or?
Yeah, that's fine. That's my website, FunnyBrianHicks.com. And I would love to jump on again. I'm going to throw this out here as a little teaser for the next episode that we all do together. But and I don't know, I can't remember if you saw this, Fritz, but I know we talked about it. Million Dollar Baby.
Okay. I have not seen it.
Franco, have you seen it?
I have not. And I know I should, but I found out the ending when the movie came out. And after that, I was like, man, so is it worth seeing it even if you know the ending?
It is. I am a Clint Eastwood fan, and to see him play that, not so much Hilary Swank, but she was phenomenal. And I believe she did win an award for that, if I'm not mistaken.
I think you're right. I think she did win Best Actress.
Yeah. Those are my two. And obviously Rocky, Rocky's where it all started for me. I mean, I don't think I'll ever like a movie more than Rocky. Rocky II, I think those were phenomenal. But these two definitely hold up for me. Cinderella Man and Million Dollar Baby. Yeah, it was great. Morgan Freeman's in it. So the acting in it is incredible. And the story, it's pretty touching as well. So yeah, definitely check it out.
I will have to check that out. Do you guys got time for a quick trivia before we wrap it up?
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm going to give you four names. Three of them were guys that James J. Braddock, Jim Braddock from Cinderella Man. Three of them he fought, and one he did not. So you got to pick out the phony. I'm going to slip in a phony, and you got to see if you can pick it out. I'll give you guys.
Listen,
you can discuss it.
If you say the phony name is a Piston Hurricane, I'm pretty much know that's not the guy.
It was Piston Honda, you know.
Like, Piston Honda, I screwed it up.
That's too ethnic.
Yeah, was it Glass Joe or
yeah?
I won't try to pull one of those over you.
Okay, fair enough.
All right, so we got Corn Griffin, Chester Matan, Martin Lewandowski, or Arthur Curry.
I don't know. I know that they had like maybe Corn would be a nickname, but otherwise, I feel like, you know, try not to click back, but a lot of the ones that I was seeing before were like Jack, James, Bob.
Sure.
Very, very basic names. Corn seems a little bit out there, unless it's a nickname.
Are you going to lock in on that one, Franco?
I don't know. What do you think, Brian?
What was the second name that you said, Fritz?
Martin Lewandowski.
Yeah, I'm going with that one.
All right. Corn Griffin was defeated by Jim Braddock.
Oh.
TKO. June 14th, 1934, Martin Lewandowski beat.
That doesn't make my answer any better, Fritz, but thanks.
By majority decision. So it wasn't unanimous, Brian.
Yeah, the fix was in.
But Arthur Curry is also known as Aquaman.
You got us.
So he did not beat Aquaman.
Hey, not yet.
Yeah, right. Who knows? So there might be time. So I want to thank Brian for joining us. This has been a treat. It's always good to get together and just shoot the shit with people that are awesome. And Brian certainly, you know, falls into that category. I think Franco's going to go on a little bit of a vacation. So our next episode will drop. What is it, Franco? Probably 2 weeks. What will be the next Friday? I'm going to look at the calendar.
Yeah, I think it would be in about 2 weeks from this episode. So I'm going to be heading out to L.A. like Biggie or Tupac. We're going to be rolling deep, going to all sorts of scary places there. So if anybody's in L.A. and you see us rolling by in our Tahoe or whatever the hell we're renting. I think it's in 2 weeks from this Friday.
Okay, so right around Friday, April 5th, we'll get our next episode. If you're subscribed, we certainly, you'll be the first ones to know when the episode comes out. So thank you guys for joining us. Go over to zippixtoothpicks.com, enter the code PUNCH10, get yourself a nice discount on your toothpicks. Want to thank Brian for joining us. Want to thank Franco for doing all the hard work. And if you guys don't have anything else, I'm throwing in the towel.
Yeah, thanks so much. It was super fun. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to Punches and Punchlines. Make sure to like, subscribe, and follow, and we'll see you next week when we break down the best in boxing with a sense of humor.